How do you respond to trials, to difficulties, to unanswered hopes or thwarted dreams? What's your response when heaven seems to shut up against your prayers and God himself does not respond to you? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim continues his exegesis of Luke 1, and he addresses this very question. It's a crucial question for Christians to have a solid biblical answer for. So let's get right to it. Jim?
If you please turn to Luke chapter 1, and beginning in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Holy Father, Lord, as we study in your word this morning, I pray, Father, that you would use me to your glory, that you would use the things that are said here, and you would speak through me, that these who hear, both here in this room and any of the other medias that it goes out, would know how great thou art. Oh, Father, thank you for those who have come today. To you be all glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. In my lifetime, it seems to me that things have never been crazier than right now. Maybe they have, and I didn't understand, but it seems to me that they've never been stranger. The division of this country, the division of families, the division of what is called the church. There's tough times, but there's been tough times before, hasn't there? As we go through these, they seem the toughest to us because they're the toughest of our lifetime. But there have been other tough times. And I believe that one of the reasons that Luke starts this out by saying in the days of Herod is because those were tough times too. He's letting us know when this took place by saying in the days of Herod, but he's also telling us about the times. Because the times while Herod was king were hard times for the Jews. There were many things that Herod did that would be considered horrible, horrible atrocities. We look at the world today and we see nations where different things are going on. That tells us by saying in the days of Herod what was kind of going on. If you opened up a book and it said that in the days of Adolf Hitler, you would know that it was talking about days that were hard, wouldn't you? You would know that it was talking about great crimes against humanity that took place just by seeing in the days of Adolf Hitler. There were great tragedies that took place in the days of Herod. The greatest, or one of the greatest that we think of, just comes to our mind right off the bat, would be the killing of all the little children as he was trying to kill the king of the Jews, as he was trying to kill the Christ child. You know, there are things about Herod where he was clearly a very intelligent man. He was a man who made many things happen. There, to this day, are still aqueducts that he had built 2,000 years ago that are in place. He did those sort of things, and yet he also was this horrible monster of a man. I think also of the wise men coming that preceded his killing of the children. He was shrewd. He was tricky. He was cunning. And he told the wise men that when you find this child, come back and tell me. Why? So that I can go and worship him too. Was that his purpose? Of course not. And the wise men would have come back if not for one thing. God intervened, as God does. Throughout history, when we see these kind of atrocities going on, if we look at them closely, we'll see the point when God said, I will intervene here. And he does. Just a very, very short, very brief little history here. The Jews were, as we see, as the guys are going through Daniel, were taken into captivity because of their own sin. God would turn them over. By the year 323 BC, Alexander the Great died. And when he died, the kingdom was divided into four areas. Eventually, the Jews fight for deliverance, and there comes a revolt, and they get a type of independence. They're able to worship in the temple again. But then by 63 BC, they were led into Roman rule. In 44 BC, Julius Caesar is assassinated. And by 40 BC, Herod the Great becomes king. Excuse me, by 40 BC, Herod the Great is named king of Judah by the Roman Senate. And Herod ruled. So Luke is telling us the time and the times by saying this. And in that time, there was a priest whose name was Zechariah. We see the division of which he was part of. He had a wife who was of the daughters of Aaron. Aaron, we know who Aaron is, right? Aaron was the brother of Moses. And so they both came from a priestly family. So we are introduced to Zechariah and to his wife Elizabeth here in the fifth verse. And her name was Elizabeth. So we're introduced to these two. And then, once we have received this introduction, he tells us just a little bit about them. And this is where I really want us to focus in for a few minutes here. And they were both righteous before God. It does not say that they were sinless before God. But they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. They were doing what they should be doing. They were living a life that they had a reputation of being righteous before God. This was a man and a woman that, though they were human, they gave themselves to Christ. Even though Christ had not yet been born, they gave themselves to God. But ultimately, in Christ, because that's where righteousness comes from. So they were righteous and they lived this way. People saw this righteousness in them. People learned from them that this is the way to walk. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in the 14th verse, it says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." This is a picture of what it means to walk in righteousness, walk blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes. This is a snapshot. It's without grumbling. Does anybody else here grumble? When we grumble, do we realize that is sin? Prepared that this week, and I prayed over that this week, and I believe that this week, and I grumble this week. But I believe that this picture that we're getting here of Zechariah and of Elizabeth was a picture of somebody who doesn't grumble. A picture of somebody who says, God's will be done. Remember Jesus saying, "Yet not my will, Lord, but yours be done." I'm not saying that Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't have their own will. We're going to talk about that will and that desire for a child. here in a moment. But they lived in what God gave them because they were righteous before God. They were blameless. Blameless. What would it be like to be blameless? I can't say that I am. They were blameless. They did not do those things that they shouldn't do. I have this issue that sometimes, I know nobody else has this problem, but sometimes I open my mouth before I think and the ability to be blameless is gone. But they were blameless. There's a lot of ways we can look at being blameless. But I tell you, the mouth, the attitude, is the place where we lose our blamelessness the fastest. It's the place that we lose our witness the quickest. Not just the harshness or even, should I say, the anger that comes from a mouth, but also the words that come from a mouth. I'm always shocked when I hear somebody who is active in church, professing Christian, maybe they're even a deacon or an elder in some church, and it blows me away when I hear foul words come out of their mouths. Have you ever seen that happen? I have seen pastors. I know a number of pastors who curse as if they were sailors and not pastors. Isn't that the old saying? Talk like a sailor? But Zechariah and Elizabeth, they kept their tongue in place. They lived in such a way that people knew who they belonged to. Folks, if we could live that way, if we could live in such a way that after somebody has spent just a little bit of time with us, they say, "Are you a Christian?" Every once in a while that might happen to us. But how more often, if we allowed the light of Christ to shine through us in everything, would that be? It says not only were they blameless, but they were innocent. Again, this doesn't say sinless. It says innocent. They were children of God without blemish. That's who we're to be. That's what Paul's telling us here in Philippians, that we're to be that kind of people. And that's the kind of people that Zechariah and Elizabeth were. And not only is that how they were, that qualified them in God's mind or God's heart or God's ways or however you want to put it, that qualified them to be ones who God used to His greatest glory. Now, we started out talking about difficult times of Herod. Not only were they living in those difficult times, not only were they facing all the things that the Jews were facing then, but they didn't have a child. So they were doing this while the world looked on and said, there must be something there. We can't see it, but there must be something there, because if they were doing what is right before God, they would have a child. Because the Jews believed, in fact, still today, many, many of them do, they believe that a woman who did not have a child was because God was punishing her or her husband for something. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, it's amazing how different pieces of Scripture come up often in different seasons and different periods of time. This story of the man blind from birth just seems to fit and be relevant here. In this story, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus' answer is so beautiful. Jesus' answer says, "Neither he nor his parents' sin caused his blindness." Didn't say they didn't sin, but that wasn't the cause of his blindness. He goes on, and I think it's verse 3 here, that says, "It was not this man sinned or parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." He went through it for the works of God to be displayed. The Jews coming out of Egypt, as God had sent Moses in to to bring them out. And as God sent the plagues, and he sent them through the words of Moses, remember the Israelites? They got to a point when they said, just go away, Moses. You're making things harder for us. But so that the works of God would be displayed, and that the world would know the might of God, they had to endure it. Now, there's some of you that may feel like you're going through some tough things. And I know you probably feel like you're living in a, how is it, Paul put it in Philippians, in a crooked and twisted generation. Yet, may the works of God be seen, be manifested, be displayed in us through difficulty, through great difficulty with the accident last September. The Russ family has been a witness to Christ through great difficulties. And sometimes those difficulties happen not because we are blameless, but because of our sin. But even in those types of difficulties, if we truly love God, then we still want His power, His majesty to be displayed through our difficulties that we caused. Has anybody here ever caused their own problems? And if you haven't, please, you need to talk to me afterwards, because we need to talk about something called pride. We do. We cause our own problems so often. But even in those, it should be that God be seen and glorified, not us. We, a year or two ago, 2 years ago, we had that deal we did on what happens when you become addicted to pornography. And those who spoke and who shared their stories, they went through very difficult things because of their own sin. And yet, the time came when God said, okay, now we turn this around to my glory. Now we turn this around and show the world my restoration of you. God leads us through our struggles. He leads us through our struggles. At this point in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they did not expect that they would ever have a child. Let me put that another way. They did not expect that they would ever be the tools or instruments of God's power being displayed, because they were old. They were past the time of childbearing. But just as with the Israelites in Egypt, God heard and God remembered His people. Aren't you thankful that God remembers His people? That if we are His by Christ Jesus, He will never forget us. And though we may go to the valley of the shadow of death, though we may go to the depths of the pit, and sometimes He allows us to go there, sometimes because of our own sin, and sometimes so that He will be glorified. But when we go to the valley, when we go to the pit, He hasn't forgotten us if we are His. You know what the name Zechariah means? Does anybody know that? It means God remembers. Names are important, aren't they? You ever look at the names that we name kids today? I scratch my head and wonder, where did that come from? Oh, first I say, how do you even say that? Let alone, where does that come from? But Zechariah means God remembers. You know what Elizabeth means? We named Grace after God's grace that He gave us. But her middle name is Elizabeth. And Elizabeth means God is my oath. God is my oath. And God is indeed and has indeed had an oath for Elizabeth. This being childless was such a devastating thing to people in that time. Even before that, go back to Sarah. And Sarah's desperate attempt to bring God's word to pass we have Ishmael. Sarah did not understand at one point how God could do or possibly bring a child to her in her old age. At this point, Elizabeth hasn't had one either. And so that feeling of hopelessness, that feeling of being someone who's looked down upon. Remember when Sarah wanted Moses to send Ishmael and his mother on? As we read that whole section of Scripture, we see that Sarah felt the shame before that of not having a child, that she was looked down upon. And then when she had the child, then she was ready to have that one removed. Why didn't Elizabeth have a child? Maybe it was something physical. Today we have people who want to have children and can't. You know the lengths that people go to have children today? There's all sorts of fertility drugs out there that they can take. There is implantation. There's surrogates. There's so many different things because that desire is so deep and so strong to have a child. And there are people who are feeling that today. But there's a lot of ways that people today are feeling missed or skipped over or left out by God. People have broken hearts, broken relationships, experiencing loneliness. I got a call from someone here about a week ago. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning and I didn't hear the phone and didn't answer it. And they left a message on my machine at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, "I am so lonely. I need someone to talk to." Some people have other burdens, even other people's burdens on them. Some people just feel defeated. Some have experienced financial setbacks or disappointments. Maybe you've lost a loved one, someone precious to you. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God doesn't forget his people. God remembers. And we see this picture in Zechariah. God remembers. We are to come alongside of each other. And we are to be useful in the name of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. Well, Zacharias and Elizabeth had a certain amount of brokenheartedness. You know, it's funny. Funny, odd, not funny, ha-ha. It's funny how sometimes, for example, the loss of a loved one, it may get easier to deal with over time to a certain extent, but it never goes away, does it? If you truly cared about somebody and they're gone, that never goes away. My point is this, there never came an age where Zechariah and Elizabeth were okay with not having a child. There came an age when they were sure that they wouldn't have one because it was not natural. Just as the angel Gabriel told Mary, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers and God moves in his timing according to his will, for the purpose of him being seen and glorified. I can think of some other women in Scripture who were barren. We talked about Sarah a little bit. But how about Rebecca? How about Hannah? And they all have one thing in common. God heard their prayer and answered it. In Romans 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." You ever feel so much pain inside and maybe even fear that you didn't even know how to pray, you pour out. You pour out. And the Holy Spirit will turn it into beautiful prayers before God. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. How about Psalm 34 and verse 17? When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Someone who doesn't know Christ would say, well, what about somebody who is being persecuted for their faith and then killed? God didn't hear or answer their prayers. Oh, yes, He did. Yes, He did. Because if they were His, and to stand that way in persecution, you just about have to be, wouldn't you? If they are His, then He answered their prayers. And ultimately, their prayer was to be in His presence, in His kingdom.
Amen. No matter the challenge, no matter the difficulty, even though we are slain for the sake of the name of Christ, we can know that our sovereign God holds all things in His omnipotent hand, that all things are progressing according to His perfect and unchanging will, and that there is not one rogue atom in all of His creation. That truth gives us wings to soar above our trials, even while it anchors us to the rock who is our salvation. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. This is from Luke 2, beginning in the first verse. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, for this will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He has pleased." Oh, friends, Merry Christmas. And until next time, Soli Deo Gloria.